29. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25 says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look into your word, I pray that you'd guide us out of the book of Proverbs, and I thank you it's a book of wisdom and knowledge and understanding for us, a book that helps us work out the knotty problems of life. And Father, I thank you that your word is given to us as a source of hope and strength and guidance. And Father, I pray that, Lord, that we would abide in your word this day, and your word would abide in us, that we may ask what we will, that it may be done for us. So Lord, bless your word to our hearts here this morning. Father, help me be a vessel that honors your Son, Jesus Christ, and honors your holy name. And so, Father, be glorified here this morning through the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that you would work in each heart here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We live in such a time that men's hearts are troubled. Does anybody know which way this world's going? If you do, please let me know. Because it seems like it's just spinning out of control. Every day is something new in the newspaper, and something else is happening here and there. But what does God's word have to say about this? Look at verse 25 of Proverbs 29. "The fear of man brings a snare, a trap, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe or secure." You know, do we need to trust God? Do we need to trust God? We do need to trust God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your" what? "Heart. And lean not unto your own" what? "Understanding. But in all your ways" what? "Acknowledge him." And what's the promise? "He shall direct your path." Your path. On December 8th, 1903, a British philosopher and railway engineer, Herbert Spencer, passed into eternity, unable to survive the clutches of death. It was a little ironic given the fact that he was an evolutionist who coined the phrase "survival of the fittest." Spencer believed the great law of nature is the constant action of forces which tend to change all forms from the simple to the complex. The more complex the species, the greater the chance of survival. Obviously, he never read or perhaps just didn't believe his own creator's account of the development of life. All our egos love to trust in our innate strength. How did, on December 8, 1903, how did they work out for Herbert Spencer? Did his strength and his ego and his survival of the fittest, how did that work out for him? It didn't work out very well. He went the way of all flesh. God says, "A soul that sinneth, it shall" what? "Die." It's appointed to the man once to die, and after this, the judgment. How much we love to trust our own ego or trust our own abilities, that determination to survive. But you know, God wants us to totally trust him. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10 says, Paul said these words, "My grace," God speaking to Paul, "my grace is sufficient for thee." What was Paul's situation? He had this thorn in the flesh. Scripture don't tell us what it is, but that thorn was bothering him. And he pleaded God three times, "Take this thorn away." Well, what was God's answer? "My grace is sufficient for thee. Paul, you got this thorn. My grace is going to be sufficient. You trust me through this time. My grace is going to meet each need you have. My grace is sufficient." Now, do we know ourselves as well as God knows us? God knows us better than we know ourselves. When God says, "My grace is sufficient," he knows how much to give us each day to meet the needs that we have. "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I will take pleasures in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am what? Strong. Survival of the fittest, God says, is survival of the weakest. Because when you're weak and you know your limitations and you trust in me, I'll get you through. My grace will get you through. What does God want us to do? Trust in the Lord with all your what? With all your heart. When you have a thorn in the flesh, God says, I know. I know. Now, why do we have thorns? Does anybody enjoy thorns on roses? Does anybody enjoy them? And see, it depends how you look at life. One guy said, why did God put so many thorns on the rose? Another person says, look what God did. He put a rose on all the thorns. Okay? It depends how you see things in life. Can you be thankful there's a rose on the thorns? You can be. You can be. In verse 25 of chapter 29, the fear of man brings a snare. Fear is a powerful thing. Fear can immobilize you. Fear can bring you down spiritually. Fear can do a lot in your life. Remember Elijah, Mount Carmel, and the great victory? He called fire down from heaven. The sacrifice was consumed. Great revival. All the prophets of Baal were killed. Then Jezebel showed up and said to Elijah, you're going to be like one of those prophets tomorrow. What'd he do? He got out of town. He fled. The fear. Is fear real? Can you be a saint of God and do great things one day and be fearful the next? You can. We can have hearts of gold for God, but we can have feet of clay at the same time. We can have that feet of clay. The fear of man brings a snare, just like Elijah and Jezebel. But whoso, that word whoso, does that include you and me? That's so quiet out there. Does that include you and me?
Yes.
It does. The whoso means anybody. You don't have to be a supersized saint to be a whoso. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe and secure. Trust in God. Trust in God. Do you trust in God? Are you one that trusts in God? Van Savner said this one time. He said, my wife and I were taking a bus trip through the mountains. The bus broke down right in front of a hillbilly grocery store. The woman there apparently had never been anywhere else much, he said. His wife came out of the store and said, I don't believe she knows what's going on in the outside world. He said to his wife, well, don't tell her. I wouldn't want the poor soul to know. Let her die in peace. Do you ever feel like that? Don't you wish you just didn't know what was happening in the world? Don't you wish you just don't know what's happening? Because the more you know, the more you can get worked up and upset. Is that true? Because this world is falling apart everywhere. Now, J. Vernon McGee said this some time ago, and I just remember what he said. He said, this is how it goes. Religious apostasy. In other words, like America, a Christian nation founded on Christian principles. Apostasy means you turn away. Christian apostasy leads to moral decline. Okay? In other words, people turn away from God, morality of the nation goes down, and then he says the next step is political corruption goes up. As morality goes down, corruption goes up. Can we see that happening?
Yes.
It's everywhere. Okay? Because you have ungodly, unregenerate people running our nation. Well, what do you do with that? Where does that lead us? Well, when it says trust in the Lord, in verse 25 of Proverbs 29, whosoever, that you, me, anybody can, puts their trust in the Lord shall be safe and secure. What does that mean to trust? Now, I'll give you some ideas here about what trust means to place your confidence in the intentions and integrity of another person. That's one way to look at trust. Trust within a relationship implies both belief and behavior. When you trust somebody, you believe they'll do this and they'll behave in a certain way. You're trusting them. When you trust in God, that implies both belief in Him and a changed behavior because of Him. In other words, when you trust in God, you believe God you are, and because of that, that makes me behave in such a way that shows my trust in Him. Now, to trust in the Lord means we trust in the character and nature of God. Now, I've got a hard question here. Maybe only a few can answer this. And this is the question. Can God lie? Yes or no? You did pretty good. That's a good answer. God can't lie. Now, if God says to me and you in Scripture, "Come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and you'll find rest for your souls." Is that something we can take to the bank? Yes. Is that something we can trust God in? Can we trust in the promises of God, what He says He will do, He will fulfill His word? God can't lie. So if He says this, we shall trust in the nature and character of God. So let's talk about the character of God right here for a minute, or the nature of God rather. Nature of God. God is all powerful. What does that mean for you and for me when it comes to trusting God? If He's all powerful, what does that mean? Can He work all things together for good if He's all powerful? Does that mean that? It means He can work all things together for good. If He's all powerful, is His timing perfect in our events in our lives? Does He have the events in our lives timed in such a purpose? He does. If God is all powerful, does that mean He has a plan and His plan is going to be fulfilled? No matter what man does, if He's all powerful, can man may zig and God may zag to get you where you need to be? You know what I'm saying? God's plan, if He has a plan, can He make sure His plan is fulfilled if He's all powerful? Is that true? That's true. So when I trust in God, I'm trusting in a God who's omnipotent, omnipresent, and omnipotent. It means He's all powerful, He's all knowing, and He's all present. Is that a good God to trust in? Can we trust in a God like that will help us? Now, with that being said, in verse 25, the fear of man, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Now, we can have internal fear and external fear in a sense. I can be afraid what man might do to me, but I can have fear in my own heart about what's going to happen in my life before this world that I live in. That is fear working. And fear can bring you down. Fear can immobilize you. And we've got to watch our fear level. Because if you have a lot of fear in your life, will this be true? If you have a lot of fear, you're going to have a lot of anxiety. And if you have a lot of anxiety, you're going to have a lot of sleepless nights. And if you have a lot of sleepless nights, what is that going to do to your relationships around your house and your home? Boy, she's grumpy today, you know? That's what happens when you don't get a lot of sleep. Do you see how it all works? It all roots back that if you're not trusting God, it has a rolling effect in your life. And what we want to do is bring that internal fear down, and we want to bring the internal trust of God up. Because when we bring trust up, our fear goes down. Our fear goes down. The fear of man brings a snare, a trap, a box, a container, a wrap around me that's not letting me go. That's what fear is going to do to you. But whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe and secure. Safe and secure. You know, God wants us to trust Him. We can trust in the character and nature of God. The second thing we can trust in, first is the trust in the character and nature of God. He's a faithful God. The second thing, we can trust in the promises of God as God's people. We can trust in His promises. Now, there are promises in Scripture for us that God has given to us. How about Job 13:15? Now, did Job have to trust God in his life? He had to trust God. He had some things happen to him that just took him down. He lost his children. He lost his livelihood. He lost his health. Are those big issues in your life?
Those are huge issues.
Now tell me, does this sound like a man that trusted God? Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I will maintain mine own ways before him. I'm not going to stop trusting God. Does that sound like he was trusting him? Though he slays me, yet will I trust him. And 2 Samuel 22:31 says, as for God, his way is perfect, and the word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield, a buckler to all them that trust in him. You know, God wants us to trust in him and to lay our life before him. Psalm 37:3 says, trust in the Lord and do good, so thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Trust in the Lord. How about Psalm 56:3? Anybody know what Psalm 56:3 says? I'll help you out. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee, or him. Yes, absolutely. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalm 50. Is that a good verse? Can you take that to the bank, what God says? You can trust in him. When you're afraid, you can trust in him. You can trust in him. You know, God's given us these promises to trust in him. Now, God is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present. All the hairs on my head are numbered. He knows my life, the end from the beginning. He knows everything about me. He knows everything because he's God. He's all-powerful. God wants us to trust in his character, his nature. Second, God wants to trust in the promises of God. Now, in order to know the promises of God, is it helpful to be in the scriptures? Is that helpful to know the scriptures? Did you bring your Bible to church this morning? Good for you. Good for you. Thank you, John. I saw that. Okay? John held his Bible up back there. You know, it's good to bring your Bible, because a Bible that is falling apart, its pages are worn out, usually belongs to somebody who isn't, because they know the Word of God. They know where to find the promises. They know where to find comfort and strength. I cannot tell you the times I've heard testimonies of people who've had a dark time in their life, and they open the scriptures and they're reading their devotions, and that morning God gave them a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, a word of understanding from the scriptures to help them through that day. They got it that day. That day. The promises of God that God gives us, we need to take and know the promises of God, to trust God. Now, three, we trust God in times of trials. Isaiah 43:1-2. Isaiah 43:1-2 says this. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Does that work for the Christian? Does that work for the Christian? Thus saith the Lord that created thee. Did God make us? Yes, he did. O Jacob, that he that formed thee, O Israel, God's chosen people, the people of God in Christ Jesus, fear not, for I have redeemed thee through the cross of Christ. I have called thee. God knows our name. Thou art mine. God says, I hold you in the hollow of what? Mine hand. No man's able to what? Pluck you out of my hand. Does that sound security? Does that sound like God's got a plan? Does that sound like the devil can take you down and never let you up again? God says, no, I got you. I got you. Because all things are going to work together for good. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire. Is anybody going through a fire here this morning? Do you know what I mean by a fire?
It's burning you. It's painful. You feel the heat. And God says, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall a flame kindle upon thee. God, we can trust him in times of trial. God is going to be with us. God is almighty. God knows the end from the beginning. We shouldn't be fearful. We should be trusting. Our trust in God has an effect on our life. Now, Fanny Crosby wrote this song. Let's see if any of y'all know this. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my what? Guide. Is that good words of theology? Those are some good words for us to remember and cling to. You know, I heard somebody say this one time. When you find yourself in a dark place, never forget what you learned in the light. Never forget what you've learned in the light when you find yourself in a dark place. Because God's word is true and faithful, and we can cling to that, and we can trust that. Now, the book of Revelation can be summed up in two words: we win. We win. Do we know the end of the story? The middle of the story might be a little painful, but the end of the story, we win. We win. And that should give us hope and trust and confidence in our Almighty God. Now, we trust in the nature and character of God. We trust in the promise of God. We trust God during times of trials. There was a story one time. There was a shipwreck. A storm wrecked a ship. The only survivor was a little boy who was swept by the waves onto a rock. He sat there all night long. In the morning, he was seen and rescued. One of the rescuers asked him, were you trembling on the rock all during the night? And he said, oh, yes, I sure did tremble, but the rock didn't tremble. What was he saying? It's Jesus Christ, that rock. We may be trembling, but guess what? The rock's not trembling because it holds us secure. There's another story one time when the West was being opened up and people were traveling West and opening up the frontier there. In the early days, there was a fellow traveling West for the first time in his life, and he came to the banks of the mighty Mississippi River, over a mile long, and he looked upon it. It was the winter time, and there was no bridge, and it was early winter, and the hard cold was upon him, and the surface of the water of the mighty river was a sheet of ice. He knew nothing about the Mississippi River. He knew nothing about the thickness of the ice, and he was afraid to walk out on it. He didn't know what to do. Darkness was coming. He hesitated to wait, but he had to get to the other side. So at last, what he did, with much fear and trembling and so much caution, he got down on his hands, he spread his arms and just started scooting across the ice because he was afraid he would fall through. But he spread out his weight. He said, I'm going to spread my weight out. I'm just going to. He got about halfway across. Now imagine how long that took him to be on his belly, just crawling, crossing. So how long that took him, he's halfway out in the middle. And this is his story. He said, as I crept along on my hands and knees and thus tried to distribute my weight as much as possible and trembling with every sound he heard, when he'd gone painfully halfway across, he heard the sound of singing behind him. He looked behind him, and there was a man driving four horses with a load of coal across the ice, singing as he went. Do you get the picture? A Christian that is fearful and trembling doesn't know how strong Jesus Christ is. Because you can stand up and sing. You're not going through the ice. You can stand up and sing and rejoice and trust God. When you think, it can't hold me, I tell you, God can hold you up. God can get you through. Because he's a great God and a good God. What does verse 25 say? The fear of man bringeth a snare. It brings anxiety, a trap, a pit, a dark place. It can bring depression. It can bring anxiety. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be what? Safe
can be secure in Christ. Are you trusting God in these days we live in? Do you find yourself in a dark place? What does God say to you? Trust in me. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Fathers, we've looked at this one verse out of Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. Father, may we trust in you. Father, so many of us are just crawling in life because we don't know how to trust God, while others are singing merrily on their way in the same environment. Oh God, may we be men and women of faith that take your word and trust it. Lord, your word is true from Genesis to Revelation. God, may we know it. May we obey it. May we trust and obey, God, your word. Father, your character, your nature is trustworthy. You alone do great wonders. You are a mighty God. Father, may we trust in you anew and afresh. May we find new hope in the scriptures when we open your word. Father, may we, through our trials and troubles, know, God, that you are an eternal God that changes not. You can't love us more. You can't love us less. You love us with that perfect love that knows our every need. Truly, your grace is sufficient for us in our lives. So, Father, may we trust you. May we love you more. And may we relax and enjoy the Christian life, trusting our Lord and our Savior each step of the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.